We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildebrandt. Joining me, as always, over there in the Chicago burbs, the one, the only Dan Rubenstein. Sir, how are you?
I'm good. And full disclosure, because this is a show about honesty, you got through four words before you had to restart this episode because you fumbled over something. And that's okay. I probably make a lot more mistakes than you do. But have you ever listened to a podcast in which somebody accidentally left in an edit where they're like, and he played for the conference championship? Nope, shoot, that's wrong. Three, two. Have you ever listened to a podcast where they forgot an edit?
I've listened to our own podcast where I've forgotten to do an edit.
Is that true?
Oh my God. Yeah. It's the worst feeling in the world. You feel helpless because most of the time you look, it's like, oh great, 20,000 people heard this already.
Yeah.
There's really not much I can do at this point, but No, I've heard it on our show. I've heard it on other shows. And full disclosure, because this is a show about honesty.
Yes, it is.
The words that I stumbled on were my own name, Dan. It's been a day here as we record this on...
I'm Ron Burgundy.
Yeah. A long Monday afternoon. But yes, I've heard the edits.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure that everybody is as silly and dumb as we are. It's snowing here. I played tennis this morning and I woke up to a message, or I received a message from you at some point saying that you received a message at 7 a.m. from your mom about the lyrics to WAP, to W-A-P.
It was the annual text/call after the Grammys from Mama H. Yeah. So we had a spirited conversation, I'll say, about the WAP.
Is she
lyrics.
Not big on kids these days?
Nope, not the kids' music. not big on WAP. I know that's a huge surprise. Had some choice commentary about the dresses that she saw on display at the ceremony. Standard issue stuff. It's like once a year after the Grammys, that's the call you get.
Okay. Well, today also happens to be a day in which people are filling out brackets, and we'd be nothing if not going against the grain if we didn't do some sort of bracket-related show. So I'm excited for that. I don't know if you have any news you want to get to. I don't know if you want me to explain our bracket game. I don't know if you wanted me to explain what's happening in that song, WAP, WAP. Like, I know you have offline mentioned that, like, I don't understand this reference or that reference, and can you break it down for me in an exacting way on the Solid Verb? I'm happy to, Ty. I had to look up a lot of things, a lot of physiology, but I'm here to explain whatever you need.
No, I appreciate that. I think I'm good.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
I think I'm okay, but I will keep you in the loop if anything changes. I did want to mention that we did have some Patriot League games.
We did have Patriot League games. Speaking of sliding, slithering, slathering. Yeah.
We had some Patriot League games. We had Holy Cross 20-3 over your Lehigh Mountain Hawks, Dan.
I believe I had that right. I believe.
You had the Crusaders. We also had the Lafayette Leopards over Colgate. Hello, old friend. 24-10 in Fisher Stadium, is it?
So Ty starts the year 0-2. Dan 2-0. Interesting.
I think I picked Lafayette, didn't I?
Did you?
I thought
you were going against the hated Leopards.
The Fordham-Bucknell game was postponed, for what it's worth. We've got a handful more this weekend. We've got Fordham-Holy Cross, Lehigh-Colgate, Lafayette-Bucknell. We'll talk about those on the Thursday show. Don't forget to subscribe / follow the show if you don't already to get all of our latest content delivered to your podcasting app of choice. You can also follow along on social media. We've got a Twitch. We've got a YouTube. All that fun stuff is out there 2 times a week all throughout the off season. Verballers.com is where you can find the Patreon, Dan. No, I don't have news outside the Patriot League, outside of...
I don't know if we actually discussed Les Miles being actually fired.
Did we
said he was going to be, in our opinion.
Yeah, I don't think
and
we
then
did.
Jeff Long was let go. They agreed to part ways, whatever it is. Now, Emmett Jones is the interim coach. Emmett Jones was their, I believe, receivers and passing game coordinator for Kansas these past couple years, was at Texas Tech before that, and then a high school coach with some success in high school going back, 8-10 years. So he is the new interim head coach at Kansas, Emmett Jones, and we'll see if the tag gets taken off, if he's able to start something anew in Lawrence.
There was also the news that you told me about this. Drew Brees is going to be taking over for Tony Dungy on the Notre Dame broadcast.
I've always felt like Tony Dungy wasn't super pumped about calling Notre Dame football games.
Yeah, I think I'm okay with this. I don't know anything about Drew Brees, which...
Okay, played at Purdue.
No.
For the
As
Chargers.
An announcer.
Oh, gotcha.
As an announcer, I know nothing about Drew Brees. And the fact that I'm
He's
okay
new.
With it probably indicates a lot about how I felt about the Tony Dungy commentary.
He's probably going to be pretty bad, right, Drew Brees?
He can't be any worse than Doug Flutie's first year.
I think it's just going to be pretty bad because announcing football games when you have no experience announcing football games, and everybody points to Tony Romo, but my guess is, and Tony Romo has a much bigger stage than Drew Brees will calling Notre Dame games, even though it's both network TV, I assume it's going to be, hopefully, a good transition throughout the year, that he improves throughout the year, but I think it's going to be quite difficult for him on that stage at first. I hope it works out.
I stand by the fact that Doug Flutie's first year, it's
when he was super into NBC show promos.
No, this is even before he was into the NBC show promos. That was the worst first year that I can remember.
Is this like an annual change? Like it feels like next to Tirico, since it was Tirico after, what was it? Tom Hicks? Dan Hicks. Dan Hicks for a year or two, right?
Yep.
And then before that was Tom Hammond. Like I don't know why Notre Dame can't keep, or NBC can't keep guys calling Notre Dame games since being sent to South Bend, Indiana.
Wow.
Seems like an easy gig.
We'll see. We'll see how Drew Brees does. But that'll be interesting. Yeah. Drew Brees is going to take over in the booth for Tony Dungy. I don't have much else in the way of news, Daniel.
No, neither do I. I'm ready to bracketologize.
Bracketologize. So the tournament, the actual basketball tournament, starts, I guess, on Tuesday with the initial play-in games. And then the first 2 days, which arguably are the most fun, are Thursday and Friday, where you've got the first round games. Have you watched any college basketball this year?
No, not at all. I'm trying to think. Have I actually watched college basketball? I watched a YouTube highlight of, I think, Oregon beating Oregon State to win the Pac-12 regular season championship. But I don't think I've sat down and watched Oregon, let alone anyone. I'm trying to remember. No, Jody with an I has not been watching Michigan. I haven't watched any, the local teams, USC, UCLA, or the local teams where I live here. I really don't think I have. No.
I haven't watched a single solitary minute
I was super into the women last season and was crazy bummed when Sabrina Ionescu couldn't play for a national championship when the tournament got called off. I was actually super into that team.
Well, look, we're going to play our own bracket challenge here in a much, much different way. We're going to put a college football spin on it, Dan. How does this game
work? Yeah, we are.
How does this game work?
Yeah, we are. I have 16 items in my 16 item bracket, and it's a likelihood bracket. I'm going to give you a number of items. Maybe they have to do with wins. Maybe they have to do with specific situations. They're tied to the seeds. So I have 1 versus 16. I have 6 versus 11, 5 versus 12, involving teams and scenarios. And you and or I have to pick the likelier scenario occurring. Okay. And it could be 2021. It could be over the course of the next few years. It could be all sorts of combinations of things. That's what I have down here.
All right.
So it's 8 items. I don't know if you have an associated sound that you want to throw into it on the fly.
Ooh,
right now,
I'm going to have to work on this. I don't even have the soundboard plugged in. You hear that?
Oh, buzz? Wow. I like that sound.
Yeah. We could play this.
Okay.
Seems obvious. Why don't we go with that?
Okay. So, do you want to do this in terms of like going through the seedings, or do you want to actually fill out a bracket in terms of likelihood?
I'll fill out a bracket. I'm gonna work on that on my end. Go ahead.
Okay. So you're gonna be writing this bracket. You need to keep track of this because I didn't put it in bracket form. All right.
I have here a Google
Doc. You
have a 16
team bracket.
Yeah.
16 item. Here we go. Do you want to start with the 1 versus 16?
Let's get it out of the way. Yeah.
It has nothing to do, once again, with like the 16th seed is not the least likely in my mind. It just happens to have an item involving the number 16. 1 seed, Bama National Championship in the next year. Will there be 1 Bama National Championship in the next year?
Okay.
So that is somewhat likely. New quarterback, all sorts of changes, though, among the coaching staff, especially. 16 plus Clemson long scrimmage plays allowed. They allowed 17 in a shortened 2020. Darian Kendrick, starting defensive back, starting corner, just left the team and I believe was just arrested, I saw. So more shorthanded than they thought they'd be. They're young but very promising up front. Returned some linebackers. Trenton Simpson, a big name. James Skalski back. Miles Murphy looks like a star in the making up front for Clemson. And they do start the season with Georgia. They do start the season with Georgia. But the rest of their non-conference schedule doesn't look crazy. South Carolina in a for sure rebuilding year. Clemson, will their defense continue the slope they fell down? We saw Phil Jurkovec light them up a little bit. We saw Ian Book a little bit during that game in key moments. So when I say long scrimmage plays allowed, that's 40-plus yards.
40-plus yards. Ooh.
So
they gave
in a shortened season.
17 last year?
Yes.
Wow. Wow. So it's that
verifying
against...
Verifying it's 40 and not 30, but yes.
It's that against Alabama winning a national championship next year.
Yep.
Wow.
What is the likelier outcome? Yeah, that's 40 plus. Clemson in, I believe it was, 12 games? So usually Clemson's playing 13, 14, 15 games. So it's shortened for them. As Clemson ended up playing in the playoff, 12 games, 17. So over 1 per game. And that was a slippery fall down for Clemson, who had been very good at limiting those bigger plays. Now, here's the thing that you have to keep in mind when you think about this.
So difficult.
It's tricky. So here's what you have to keep in mind. Obviously, there is going to be garbage time. Big play and garbage time means nothing. You're going against the Clemson threes. But that's always been the case, as Clemson has been kind of on a rampage these last few years. The other thing to keep in mind, maybe, is if you're a big believer in the Clemson offense, they're going to score quickly. DJ Uyunglele. If you're not a big believer and you think the Clemson offense is going to struggle, you know, the offensive line is back, but they lose pieces at receiver. Obviously, Travis Etienne, Trevor Lawrence, the big highlight. So if they do struggle, they'll be on the field less as well. And so this is a counting stat, so more opportunities if a team is...
Yeah, that's the thing.
Generally, Clemson is allowing about 65 to 68 plays a game, but if they get 70, 72 plays in there, the opportunities could be there for bigger plays.
I'm going to say the 16 or more long scrimmage plays is my selection.
I'm going to go with that as well. I anticipate Clemson playing more games than 12 as well. So I don't think it gets fixed overnight. And the secondary still, there are some young guys that are interesting, but the guys who are playing, I don't know. I think they're going
to
allow some.
You need so much to go right in order to win a national championship, even for Alabama.
So you're banking on things going wrong as being a more likely.
It's much easier for things to go wrong, for there to be blown coverage. Clemson's got
bad tackling.
Some games against good offenses. So, yeah, let's go. Let's ride with 16 or more long scrimmage plays, Dan.
I think I'm with you. The problem is Alabama's always excellent.
I know.
They're always excellent. I'm with you there. So we agree. Put down Clemson, 16 plus.
I got it. What's next?
Okay, so then we go to the 8-9 game.
Yes, 8-9.
Eight-win Florida State. That's a lot. They went 6-7 in 2019, but seemed to take a step back last year. Or 9-win Duke-Cuse Tech.
All right, so this is Duke, Syracuse, and Virginia Tech combined?
Georgia Tech.
Oh,
sorry.
Georgia Tech.
Yes.
Nine wins combined. Tech.
Nine plus, yeah.
Ooh. I'm pretty high on Florida State. You are too. We both feel...
But
it might be a stretch to say we're high on Florida State, but we feel fairly bullish about them, don't we?
Yeah, I am feeling, for the most part, in terms of year two coaches who were dealt a pretty rotten hand, and just that 2020 was such a mess that had to be their year to get to know their team and personnel and hire coaches, everything like that. I am leaning 9-win Duke-Cuse Tech. Just because... You can stumble into 5 wins in the ACC and with the non-conference schedules that those teams have. I know Georgia Tech plays Georgia, but I think you can stumble into 5, which lowers the bar considerably. So I'm going to go with 9-win Duke-Cuse Tech.
I feel like that's probably the answer. Because like as I'm going through and looking at schedules here,
you mean just look at non-conference because
that's what
ACC
doing.
Plays 4 non-conference games, so you can load up.
That's what I'm looking at. So, for example, if you look at Georgia Tech, I know you said they play Georgia, and that's true, but they also play Northern Illinois and Kennesaw State.
Yep.
So I feel like there's probably more upside.
Kennesaw's been pretty good though.
I know they have.
Yeah,
I feel like there's probably more upside there. Mm-hmm. You know, Duke's got North Carolina A&T. Got a game against Charlotte, which they should hopefully win, although Charlotte's been okay. So Duke-Cuse Tech is the answer here, but that's a really good question. And I don't feel any worse about Florida State, even though I'm going to go Duke-Cuse Tech. I just feel like it's...
Yeah. I mean, look, if Mackenzie Milton is healthy and he's accurate and he's relatively mistake-free, that's not the biggest ask.
No, not at all.
Florida State to win 8 games.
Not at all. But it's the same deal as the first question, right? You just get more bites at the apple with 3 teams.
Correct. And UMass is awful and on Florida State's non-conference schedule. Notre Dame fills out one of those 4, I believe, right? Jacksonville State, who's playing right now. Jacksonville State's playing right now and certainly Florida. So having Notre Dame and Florida count to those 4... That's a tough break schedule wise for Florida State right now. So I'm going Duke-Cuse Tech myself.
All right. Next up would be 4-13.
4-13. 4 Rutgers Scarlet Knights wins.
Ooh.
Shortened season. They go 3-6. 3 this year.
Okay.
And because I liked making those combos, Ty.
Mm-hmm.
13 for the Fighting Corn Boilers.
Fighting Corn Boilers. All right. So that's.
Feel free to use that name in your actual bracket.
So that's Nebraska, Purdue, and
Illinois. Fighting the Illini. Yeah.
13.
Yep.
Wow. Nebraska, Illinois, Purdue.
So I would need 4-4-5 across those three teams. First year Brett Bielema, Scott Frost reeling in Lincoln, and certainly Jeff Brom low-key reeling in West Lafayette.
Wow. Man,
if we could get that on some sort of Chiron this fall, Jeff Brom instead of head coach Purdue low-key reeling, I'd be very happy. I'd be thrilled. Boilers.
I'm looking at Rutgers' schedule right now.
Okay.
4 wins feels like a stretch to me. But it's like there's really no margin for error because...
Sure.
I feel like in a regular season, let's put it this way, in a regular season where we don't have all sorts of weird COVID protocols and injuries and whatnot, it's just probably not the same setup as it was a year ago for Rutgers.
Saying Rutgers was advantaged by a deadly pandemic?
In a weird way, yes. I think I'm saying okay. That.
I kid. Nobody was advantaged. Yeah.
But there's just no margin for error here. They've got to beat Temple. They've got to beat Syracuse. They've got to beat the Delaware Blue Hens.
Obviously.
And they've got to beat Illinois. That's the clearest path to get to 4.
And they're on a Michigan State win streak.
They are on a Michigan State win streak, but that just feels... And I feel better about Rutgers. I think Schiano did a good job.
Got Maryland at the end there. I think there's a couple of dots on there.
There's just not much room for error. And then on the Nebraska-Illinois... Purdue side of things, I feel like we looked at Nebraska's schedule. I'm pulling it up now, and it's not exactly an easy setup.
Okay.
They've got a game, a road tilt against Oklahoma. They've got Ohio State on
which
the
almost
schedule.
Got canceled. I don't know if you saw that news item.
I did.
Oklahoma,
they were trying,
was
right?
Yeah, Oklahoma was adamant that they wanted to play the game, and Nebraska said, I don't know if that's for us specifically. And then it got out and Nebraska was like, oh, we intend to play. Oh, yeah, we're going to play. Yeah. So tough schedule.
I feel like the answer is
fighting corn boilers.
It's the fighting corn boilers is the answer here. It's got to be the answer because now I'm looking at the schedule. I mean, even though it's tough for Nebraska, they can get the 7 wins here. They can get the 7 wins, Dan.
Walk me through your favorite Scott Frost bowl season. Just lay it out.
They can get the 7 wins here.
Okay.
And then you're asking for 3 apiece from Purdue and Illinois, which is doable.
Nebraska's, they kind of had a single offensive threat last year, and he decided Nebraska's not for me.
Right.
Kentucky's high flying offense. Went home. I know there was family stuff as well, but yeah. Fighting corn boilers. Have fun with that. I'm going Rutgers.
Corn boilers. You're going Rutgers.
Yeah,
okay.
I am.
So we have to.
I mean, somebody has to win these games, I guess.
We have to agree on one.
Okay. So let's, I suppose, if we're going to go bite at the apple theory, we'll go fighting corn boilers here.
Corn boilers. Okay. Five versus 12 is up next.
4 wins. It's not terrible. 5 versus 12. Tie. This is always where there's an upset, although yeah. This is not really a seed.
We just
thing.
Had a 13 over a 4.
Speaking of Kentucky's high-flying offense, 5 SEC games in which Kentucky scores over 30 points.
Oh, no.
They had 1 in 2019. That was Vanderbilt. But 12 Georgia wins, including, you can include the SEC championship game. So 13 games, 12 Georgia wins out of 13, 12 plus.
Oh, man. This is extremely difficult.
Yes.
There is no chance Kentucky is going to score more than 30 points in 5 SEC games.
There's no chance?
There's always a chance. But given where they came from, that offense was real bad, Dan.
New quarterback. Hopefully won't be Will Levis. New quarterback, new coordinator. Yeah, this is what their SEC schedule looks like this year. Versus Mizzou, at South Carolina, versus Florida, versus LSU. First of all, not a crazy killer of a defense in that group, right?
Sure.
Florida had their own issues.
Sure.
Mizzou gave up a lot.
30 points.
30 plus points. Doesn't matter how you score them. Georgia, Mississippi State, two pretty good defenses. Tennessee, Vanderbilt.
There is no chance that Kentucky's going over 30 points in five SEC games. No,
so you
are
likelier 12-1 or 13-0 Georgia, which includes week one Clemson.
Right. 100%. I'm on board with the 12 here. There's just no way Kentucky's doing that. There's no way.
30 points. Wandale Robinson.
I don't care. There's no chance.
Okay. Man. Would love to see it, though. Would love to see it. I think I agree.
Yeah.
I was trying to find it. What about three? Could you find three 30-point games? Mizzou, South Carolina, Vandy?
I could find... I could find three. Sure, I could find three. Okay. Three I would take, even if I couldn't.
Five is a bridge too far. You take three over 12 Georgia wins.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Because 12 Georgia wins is still very difficult. Everything has to go right.
Next matchup.
Three versus six.
So we have... Oh, you're doing this in quadrants? How are you doing this? Because we still have 7 versus 10.
We still have 7 versus 10.
3 versus 14. Is that what you meant to say?
3 versus 14. I'm sorry. Continue.
Okay, here we go.
Yep.
Three straight Pac-12 titles for Oregon. They've already won two.
Okay.
So they would add that crown, the triple crown. Or 14 plus total wins for two of the three other Pacific Northwest. I think it's the Cascade Cup. I forget what they call it. Washington schools. 14 plus total wins for the Washington schools, or a Pac-12 crown this year for Oregon, making it three straight.
Ooh. By the way, there's a decided 12 Days of Christmas feel to this game. Now that I'm just...
Great.
It took me four matchups or five matchups now to catch on that this is what you were doing.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, so we're going Pac-12 title for Oregon versus 14 or more total wins for the Washington schools. I think I go Oregon here.
Really? You don't like the trending directions of Wazoo and UW? So Wazoo had a completely abysmal defense this past year in that 1-3 shortened season. Completely abysmal. And that's okay. That can be improved upon. Defense is about effort. Washington had an efficient offense, but no huge playmakers. And defensively, probably not where they should have been. They got pushed around a little bit up front. So Washington and Wazoo, we're talking about an average of 7 wins apiece. You know, 9 for UW, 5 for Wazoo, and that's 14. 8-6. Oh, 10-4. Feel great about Washington.
I'm not crazy about Wazoo. That's the thing. That's the thing that I have trouble with.
Jarek Garantano.
I know. That's why. I'm not crazy about Wazoo. And I'm mixed on Washington. You seem to be higher on Jimmy Lake, but...
I'm kind of mixed on Washington myself, but yeah.
Yeah, well, even still, I think you're higher on the Huskies than I am. I like the hire of Jimmy Lake. I'm not opposed at all to Jimmy Lake. Everything we've heard has been really positive. I like that they promoted from within, that they established continuity. But last season... quote unquote last season, 4 games, whatever they played, like that's just not, you can't take anything from last season seriously, in my view. It kind of all goes out the window. So I feel like we still don't know a whole lot about what Washington's going to look like under Jimmy Lake. We know they've got a quarterback coming in that everyone's very excited about, but there's too many variables there. And I really just, I'm not.
Well, they have a quarterback that exists already there.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. But Washington is clearly the better of the two schools in that equation. Wazoo, I'm just...
You kind of need to find 5 or 6 Wazoo wins, which is becoming difficult. So if you want to say Utah State and, what is it, Prairie State? That's who they're playing week 2? Oh, excuse me, not Prairie, Portland. Excuse me. I didn't recognize the Vikings logo. Portland State and Utah State... good shot. Utah State, first-year coach, and Blake Anderson. We'll see. I like Blake Anderson. Portland State's a likely win, and Arizona at home, November 19th, likely win. Outside of that, we've got BYU. That's sandwiched in there between Stanford and Arizona State on the road in October. And then It's at Cal, at Utah, USC, Oregon State at home. So if you want to say Oregon State and what, Cal, in terms of close calls enough, that gets you to five. Maximizing five, which means you need nine from UW.
Right.
Oregon has a pretty big question mark at quarterback. New defensive coordinator, a good amount of experience on offense overall, and a pretty high talent level on defense.
I'm going to go
tougher
with Oregon.
Schedule.
I'm going with Oregon. Okay. I'm going to go with your Ducks, Dan. I'm going to go with your Ducks.
Wow.
I'm not sure.
Going
I'm
against the bites at the apple theory.
I know. I'm not sure I'm crazy about Oregon either.
Right.
Like, how do we feel about Anthony Brown leading the Oregon Ducks? Do you think that's
a good
situation?
I don't think they're a top 12 team in the country with Anthony Brown. But I think they can win games and position themselves somehow, if they win the correct games, to win the North and give themselves a shot at winning the conference. But my understanding is Anthony Brown will start, and depending on the development of Ty Thompson, or, I mean, it's probably Ty Thompson, his development, early enrollee, big-time quarterback, freshman. Depending on his development and readiness, they'll make a decision at some point. But Anthony Brown's obviously the guy, with Tyler Shuck transferring. So I think they are overall in a B-minus quarterback situation, which can be good enough to win a bunch of games in the Pac-12, but nothing important nationally.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
7-10, 7 or higher final regular season rank of Notre Dame.
Oh God.
Or
lower. I'm going the other one.
I got a toughie, though. Michigan, Penn State, or Wisconsin finish with 10-plus wins.
One of them?
Any of those three. It's 7-10. 7 is the regular season rank or higher for Notre Dame. 10 is the number of wins for either Michigan, Penn State, or Wisconsin.
Oh, it's 100% the 10-plus wins. There's no chance Notre Dame is going to be finished.
Cade McNamara, Sean Clifford, Graham Mertz.
Oh, God. Why'd you have to do that to me?
Yeah.
First off, Sean Clifford is not going to be the quarterback. Can we get that out there? I think James Franklin made a comment that I saw floating around on Twitter earlier today. Some friends were sending it around that James Franklin wants to see what Taquan Roberson and Christian Vio can do out there. Quote, we want to feel like we can put those guys in a game and win with them. So I interpret that as they're going to give them a serious look. Can we just agree that Penn State's going to be done with Sean Clifford and it's going to be one of these other guys? I don't know if that necessarily makes them better, but it's not going to make them any more disorganized on offense, especially now with Yurcich.
I was saying, they're going to win 10 games, Penn State, with a brand new quarterback?
I don't feel great about that, but...
Is that the team of those three that you feel best about?
I feel pretty good about Penn State. Yeah, I do. I do. And if I'm ranking them in order, I probably go Penn State, Wisconsin, Michigan.
You're not a Cade McNamara? I know it's Cade, but I like Cade. And or J.J. McCarthy, incoming five-star freshman?
Not yet.
Okay.
That could change by week one, but...
And you don't think Jack Cohn can lead Notre Dame? I don't know what their schedule looks like to a high ranking, a playoff-ish ranking?
All right, let me pull this up.
Rose Bowl Cohn?
Rose Bowl
King Cohn?
King Cohn. King Cohn is the official moniker.
Sorry.
I'm pulling this up. My gut reaction was there's no way. But road tilt against Florida State, Toledo, Purdue, Wisconsin. Okay, some crossover. Mm-hmm. Cincinnati and Virginia Tech. USC, North Carolina, Navy, Virginia, Georgia. Oh my God, they could go 12-0 with this. Man, you are going to make a fool out of me here.
You going Notre Dame?
I might have to. I didn't realize the schedule looked like this.
Yeah. Who are the likeliest losses for Notre Dame on that schedule? Cincy? But it's Marcus Freeman. He knows that team.
USC?
Yeah.
Can I answer USC twice? I don't... North Carolina lost everybody with the exception of Sam Howell.
Yeah.
So they're sort of in rebuilding mode.
The defense actually has interesting pieces, though.
It does. But this feels like easily a 10-2 season for Notre Dame. Because they do bring a lot back.
Yeah.
Man. Chicky. Fine. I'll go Notre Dame. Damn it. Why do you do this to me?
Notre Dame at 7. Yeah. So do we only have one left? First round matchup?
We've got a 2 versus 15 here.
And then we also have 6-11.
And we have 6-11. So let's do 6-11 next. 6-11 next.
6 total years of Lane Kiffin in Oxford, Mississippi. So he needs 5 more.
Okay.
21, 22, 23, 24, 25.
Yeah.
Give him 6 total years. Or 11 combined wins in the next 2 years in Knoxville.
In Knoxville.
Ooh. Not for Lane Kiffin, for Tennessee.
Right.
And overall, not just home games.
Ooh, 11.
You need a 6 winner and a 5 winner.
Bind
on
wins.
Average.
I don't
if Tennessee
think
Lane... can win 7 this year, it's likely that they're going to hit or eclipse that number.
I don't think Lane Kiffin's going to stay at Ole Miss for 6 years.
What's the job, though?
I don't know.
Do you think he's getting fired for some sort of...
No, I think
for losing
he leaves.
Or for impropriety?
I think he leaves. I think he
What's
leaves.
What's the step up for Lane? What school hires him? What school wants all the good, bad, and weird of Lane Kiffin? What's that jump up from Ole Miss? Florida?
Dan Mullen's going to be around at Florida. He's
Miami?
Gonna be around for a
Florida
while.
State?
Oh, man.
What's the
Maybe
jump up?
It might be the NFL.
Could be the NFL.
I just don't see him staying for 6 years at Ole Miss. And I like the Ole Miss job. He obviously does. He he had his pick of the proverbial litter there. But
probably not Saban retirement Bama.
I don't see them going to... You think they would give Lane a look?
No, I don't think so. Not with the way things ended.
I don't think he would do that. So
I think they're probably... I think they might go as far as letting Nick Saban have that voice in that conversation. If he wants it.
I think I got to go with Tennessee being more
Tennessee likely. Wins?
Yeah.
So we need like a... If things are rough because of how thin the roster is, we need to hit 4 or 5 this year, which is a tough ask. That's a thin roster right now.
Yeah, but you could cobble together. You could go very easily... 4 wins this year and 7 next year.
Do you have the schedule in front of you?
I don't have
this year's Tennessee football schedule.
They could win four games this year, though, couldn't they?
Bowling Green, who just lost Brian Van Gorder like the night before spring practice.
Right.
So that's addition by subtraction to me. Pitt, TNTC. Is that Tennessee Tech? Is that how I'm reading?
Tennessee
Tech. Tennessee Tech, the Golden Eagles.
Yeah,
so let's call it.
They have South Alabama. They have Vandy on here. They could win four games this year easily.
Three, four.
So okay. I think five is likely. They're at least going to win one more.
Five is likely.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then if we're assuming the best, they would improve upon that mark in 2022. I'm looking at the schedule now. Yeah. I mean, Ball State, Pitt, Army, UT Martin.
Wait, are we just penciling in Pitt as a loss to Tennessee?
No, I'm penciling it as a win.
No, I'm saying you're saying Pitt, you're penciling it as a loss. Pitt is losing to Tennessee.
In this game, I am, yeah.
Oh, my God. Disrespectful.
I think I go Tennessee here. There's no chance Lane's staying there for 6 years.
Give me the next matchup in the second round.
Well, we have to do the 2-15 yet, don't we?
Oh, 2-15. Excuse me. Yeah. Here we go. Two regular season wins over Oklahoma schools by Texas. Texas plays both Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. Actually, I think it's in consecutive weeks. The Oklahoma State game is in Austin. And as we all know, Oklahoma, Texas, Oklahoma, whatever your preference, as it is every year, in Dallas.
So you're saying they beat both Oklahoma schools?
Yes, regular season. So any potential rematch in a conference championship game does not count. Regular season.
Ugh. Okay.
Or 15 total games played by Oklahoma. So they could lose to Texas, hypothetically, in this scenario, and still play 15 games. They go, 11-1, win the conference championship game, end up in the playoff, win a game, go to the national championship game. So this means it's just games played. It's essentially saying Oklahoma national championship game berth or Texas beating Oklahoma and Oklahoma State in consecutive weeks.
Wow. I don't think. Man, that's tough. I don't think Texas is going 2-0.
Okay.
And beating both the Oklahoma schools during the regular season. And I feel
Oklahoma.
I feel more strongly about that than I do Oklahoma's prospects of making the national championship game because still Spencer Rattler back. Started a lot of younger guys last year.
Sure. Lost their best defensive player in Ronnie Perkins, though. Terror on the edge.
Yeah, but they don't play defense anyway. What difference does
it make? Oh, that's not true at all.
What difference does it make?
That's not true at all. This is an improved defense.
Sure. Sure it is. I'll go Oklahoma here.
For the record, I think you're wrong about the Oklahoma defense. So this, what you're saying, though, is also Oklahoma can max lose one game in the Big 12, and Oklahoma will beat one of these schools. They'll beat Ohio State, they'll beat Clemson, they'll beat Alabama, they'll beat whoever may come out of the Pac-12 unscathed or at 11-1, 12-1. They'll beat Georgia, they'll beat Notre Dame. They'll beat one of those types of schools in late December, early January. Texas A&M.
I still think that's more likely than Texas going 2-0.
LSU.
Because they got the offense. You know they're going to play
offense. Two games.
That's
all it takes.
Yeah, but Texas isn't beating both them. No chance.
They were in overtime or however many overtimes against Oklahoma last year. And I believe that. Didn't they beat Oklahoma State?
Yeah.
In that crazy overtime game?
Sure. I don't see any chance.
Okay. No chance.
No chance.
Two games.
No chance.
They'll be in a rhythm by then. It's October.
Sarktober.
Sarktober.
Thank you.
Yes, Texas did indeed beat Oklahoma State in overtime last year. It was a crazy game.
All right, so let's go back through then and do
round two. Let's do it. Let's go second
quickly.
Round. What do you got?
We've got the 16 or more long scrimmage plays allowed by Clemson.
Yep.
Versus 9-plus win Duke of Cuse Tech.
Duke of Cuse Tech. Give it to me.
I think I go Duke of Cuse Tech.
So now you think this is less likely. You're taking the bites off the apple.
Yeah, I think Duke accused Tech. Three teams combined giving me a chance to get to 9 or more wins.
Okay. Next.
Next, we've got the Fighting Corn Boilers. 13 combined wins.
Makes me giggle. Yep.
Versus Georgia. 12 wins.
Fighting Corn Boilers. 13 combined wins.
I think I go Corn Georgia Boilers.
12. Corn Boilers. Which of those boilers of corn that fights, which of those do you feel is going to be pulling their own weight the most?
Pulling their own weight the most.
Yeah, like is Illinois really carrying Purdue and Nebraska to...
I think Nebraska, probably.
The unforeseen 13. Yeah, I'm trying to come up with something.
I go to Nebraska.
You think Nebraska is shouldering the load?
Yeah, I do.
Wow. Okay.
Because look, Nebraska and Purdue, they could each get 5 wins. Illinois's got to get 3.
Yeah.
And they still hit that. So yeah, okay. I'm Corn Boilers right here.
Corn Boilers over Georgia and high success level. Okay, next item.
We've got 3 straight Pac-12 titles for Oregon versus 11 combined wins in next 2 years in Knoxville.
Okay. So this, it's requiring, what is the easier path? Searching out and finding those 11 wins in 2 years. You can go 5-7, 6-6. You hit it. You can be unexceptional and win this matchup. Or you have to be at least good if you're Oregon to hit this one.
Ooh.
So basically what I'm saying is, are you betting on the shine of mediocrity or positivity, the attraction of positivity?
Wow. I'm going 11 combined wins.
11 combined wins. Okay.
More bites at the apple.
You're going with the high floor rather than the low bar.
That's correct.
Okay. Next matchup.
Oh, God, this one. Oklahoma with 15 games played versus Notre Dame ranked 7th or higher. Berth.
Notre Dame playoff or playoff adjacent.
Oh, God. I hate this one. It's got to be Notre Dame. It has to be Notre Dame.
It has to be Notre Dame. So Oklahoma, one of, if not the only, I'm trying to think like... depending on how you classify Georgia, but certainly JT Daniels didn't start the season. Oklahoma is either the only, or if I'm forgetting somebody, to bring back their starting quarterback.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right. That's right.
So that sort of continuity is really attractive.
See, now this
is bull.
You
don't break through until you do.
This is why this is bull. You're arguing both sides of the coin here. You're doing this to me on purpose.
Yeah, of course. Continue. I'm just trying to give you my viewpoint.
I'm trying to
arm you with all of the possible context and information.
Knowledge is power. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, I'll go Notre Dame. I don't know. What do you think?
If I'm deciding between Jack Cohn, Notre Dame winning likely 11 plus, or Oklahoma realistically going 13-1 to reach game number 15. That a blemish won't affect their title run, but to say that they're going to be 14-0 is probably a lot, considering that they're not a complete team right now.
So you go Notre Dame too?
I think I'm going Notre Dame. Ugh. I think it's really hard to do what I'm asking Oklahoma to do. Now, they're a playoff team, and Notre Dame has been a top 7 team, what, 2 of the last 3 years, 2 of the last 4 years, whatever it is. So... Notre Dame's barrier to entry, I'm looking up their schedule right now because I didn't have it. You said Cincinnati and USC were the toughest two?
Cincinnati, USC. There's a game against Virginia Tech, I think, on the road.
That doesn't bother me that much. Where's
Wisconsin,
the USC game?
There's a Wisconsin game. The USC game's at Notre Dame.
Okay. So we've got a Wisconsin game against a legitimately very, very good defensive coordinator who knows, in some form, Jack Cohn, right? We like Jim Leonard. We think he's a promising, he's a young defensive player, but really good. So we have Jim Leonard, Wisconsin defense. We have non-Marcus Freeman, Cincinnati defense. We've got pretty good, but definitely talented USC defense with a really good quarterback. And that game is in South Bend. We've got Sam Howell, who struggled with more talent last year to consistently move the ball and score touchdowns against Notre Dame. We have a Notre Dame team with their own new defensive coordinator, mind you. But I don't know how much Stanford scares you. Virginia at this point. Navy. Navy's an interesting maybe letdown look-ahead sandwich, I guess. But yeah, the back half of their schedule seems fine. But, you know, that's a not an amazing middle season stretch of Wisconsin, Cincinnati, Virginia Tech on the road, USC, North Carolina. Now, four of the five of those are at home, unless they're some neutral site that I'm not seeing. So I don't love tough five-game stretches. But even still, there's no the loss isn't obvious, unless you're a big believer in Wisconsin, I guess.
It's not obvious. I hate that. I hate that you put me in this situation, but the answer is probably Notre Dame. It's got to be Notre Dame.
Yeah. All right. With a down, still down Florida State, Cincinnati, replacing key guys. Okay.
So we're down to the semifinals here.
Okay. What's the matchup?
9+ win, Duke Acuse Tech.
Okay.
Versus 13 combined wins for the Fighting Corn Boilers.
That came together nicely.
It's so almost like you
use the apple biting.
No, we've got three bites of the apple in both cases. I think I go nine plus win Duke Acuse Tech.
It's a lower bar.
Lower bar.
To clear. Yeah.
I think that's the answer here.
But I think the competence quotient is probably higher with Nebraska and Purdue. I don't think Duke is trending in the right way. The Syracuse offense is such a mess still. And Georgia Tech is just a propensity to let the bottom fall out, even with their, you know how I feel about Jahmyr Gibbs, but okay, you're going with that 9-win Duke Acuse Tech.
Acuse Tech, lower bar, 3 wins apiece.
Okay.
And if you get a school like a Georgia Tech that, you know, plays hard, has played hard, really hard the last 2 years, they get bowl eligible, it's a near certainty that you're going to hit.
Okay.
Duke Acuse Tech. Through to the finals, Dan.
Through to the finals, Duke Acuse Tech.
Second matchup here.
Yep.
11 combined wins next 2 years in Knoxville or Notre Dame ranked 7th or higher.
So once again, it's excellence versus mediocrity. 11 combined wins.
You get to pick this one. Don't make me do this. You pick.
Does Tennessee's non-conference 2022 schedule exist online?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Who is it?
Ball State, Pitt, Army, UT Martin. So even if you want to play it super conservatively, that's 3 wins.
What?
It's 3 wins.
Is this not a Tennessee team that just lost to the Panthers of Georgia State?
I'm assuming the best here, okay? Forgive me. They shouldn't lose. I just whistled. They shouldn't lose to Ball State, Army, or UT Martin. They shouldn't lose to Pitt either, but they could.
What do you mean shouldn't lose to Pitt? Pitt's been fine. They've been a 500 program.
I'm saying,
if not better.
Worst case scenario, it's a 3-win non-conference slate for them.
Okay. Army's been pretty decent.
They're not. Okay. Can you please answer the question, Dan?
So am I taking the Notre Dame or I'm going Tennessee?
I think Tennessee's the answer here.
I'm going Tennessee. I think it's tough for teams without the upper level of talent and depth thereof to go to the playoff and back-to-back seasons. So I think Notre Dame can go 10-2 with that schedule and miss the playoff.
So that brings us to our final.
Although they could finish number 7 in the country at 10-2, which is all I'm asking here.
This brings us to our final then.
Yeah.
We've got 9+
the
win.
The excess Duke, of mediocrity.
Yeah. Duke Acuse Tech with 9+ wins or 11 or more wins in Knoxville over the next 2 years, Dan.
Oh, this is tough.
I still
this
go Duke Acuse Tech.
This is extremely difficult.
Tech. Yeah.
Duke Acuse Tech, because of the 4 non-conference games they play, what if I were to say it's only, and I don't know if you have all 3 schedules in front of you, only FBS games count? So you have to take away all FCS
matchups. Well, you can't change
matchups.
The rules now.
Well, I'm just asking. It's just a wrinkle.
That's no. I would probably go no. I would probably say no.
If you have to take off FCS matchups.
No, okay. I'm not feeling as good about that. But, you know, Duke did not have a good year last year. He did not have
Correct.
A good year last year. But they play North Carolina A&T and Kansas this season. Those should both be W's. Then we move over. Hold on. Let me finish this. Then we move over to Syracuse, who also did not have a great year last year. But again, looking at the schedule, they've got a game against Ohio and the Albany Great Danes.
So we're not counting that, though.
No, we still are counting that. You can't change the rules on me.
Yeah, okay.
That's two more wins. Mm-hmm. And then we go over to Georgia Tech. And I like Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech is building under Jeff Collins. They're, I think, playing hard week in and week out.
Yeah.
They've got games here against Northern Illinois, Kennesaw State. They play Duke, who they should be able to beat. I mean, it's not obvious, okay.
So here's what you do need. This is added context, if I may.
It's not obvious. Oh, no.
2020, these three teams added up to 5 wins. 2019, they added up to 7 wins.
You scoundrel. This is tough. This is, I think I assume too much, but I'm still going Duke Accused Tech, Dan. I am still going Duke Accused Tech.
By the way, I was using ACC conference games to get those numbers. If you want the full, I should have been obvious in my question. I wasn't, so I'm giving it to you. So it's 3, 5, and 5. So it was 13 2 years ago.
Okay. Okay.
If that makes you feel any better.
Okay. Okay. I feel better now.
Okay.
I still go Duke Accused Tech here.
If I made it ACC games only, would that change anything?
Yes.
So you would go Tennessee to hit 11 overall the next 2 years before you would take ACC wins between Duke, Syracuse, and Georgia Tech.
To equal 9? Yeah. I think
it was 6 overall last year between those three.
I think, yeah.
Syracuse 1-10, Duke 2-9, Georgia Tech 3-7.
I think I'd go Tennessee in that case. I think I'd have to.
Tennessee's 11 over Duke Accused Tech's 9 ACC wins.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's right.
Okay. So Tennessee 11 wins is overall your champion?
No, Duke Accused Tech is still my champion.
Duke Accused Tech is your overall champion unless ACC games are used.
Yeah. Duke Accused Tech.
What an unexpected... What are they, a 9 seed? Yeah, because it's 9. I mean, I didn't seed anything, but... okay, so the 9-win Duke Accused Tech is your... We have no name for this game. Our item bracket.
Right.
Okay. Wow. I did not expect that when making this bracket. I definitely didn't.
Yeah.
I don't know what I actually expected.
This is the most loved Duke Accused Tech's going to get all year.
Oh, man. We need to keep track of this somewhat. I'll keep this document. I'll create a Google Doc so we can track it over the course of the year.
All right. I have it. I have.
Let's see what I nailed.
A thing here. Oh, okay. I'll send it to you. And maybe somebody out on the Patreon can help us out as well.
That'd be great.
Ballers.com. But
also, I want to know what anybody, Patreon, non-Patreon, who they have winning and where we really messed up our bracket.
Yeah, who they have winning this bracket and who they have winning the actual bracket too.
Oh, are we doing that?
I don't know if we're doing it, but I'd like to know what I'm missing and like who the sleepers are. Because generally what I'll do, I don't usually watch a lot of college basketball because it's not that I have anything against it, but... By the time basketball season rolls around, I'm just looking for like sports detox for a couple months after what we do throughout the fall and into January. It's not really.
So what have you been watching?
I've just been watching Netflix, man.
Tell me what you've been watching.
I've been watching this Marriage or Mortgage show. Did you dip your toe in yet?
I watched 20 minutes of it. Jody and I was watching it while feeding the little guy.
Yeah. It's incredibly frustrating.
I don't know if I have an opinion about it. It's so the concept marriage or mortgage is you have a certain amount of money to either spend on a down payment for a house or the house itself. I don't even know.
Yeah.
Or for like a super nice wedding.
That's correct. Yeah. And then what they do is they try to sweeten the pot a little bit. So
is it a full house or is it a mortgage or is it a down payment?
Well, they're saying we have X amount of money to use on a down payment on a wedding. And then it's very much a love it or leave it type show. If you've love it or listed, excuse me, if you've seen some of the old shows on, I forget what network that was, but
HGTV,
something like maybe? That. Yeah.
Yeah.
And instead, the spinoff is you can either devote that money to your wedding, where they're going to jump in, they're going to get you a great deal with all sorts of perks, the wedding of your dreams, or they're going to get you a nice deal on a house where, you know, the owners or the builders provide some concessions to.
What's frustrating about it? I think it's a really good, I mean, I think it's always obvious to me that you should spend money on something you're going to be using for decades rather than a single day, but I understand having a nice wedding. So what is frustrating to you about it?
What's frustrating to me is that, and keep in mind, I come from like both sides of our family are very traditional, right? So the prospect of like buying a house before marriage is not really something that was much considered, but it's just so obvious when you're looking at these two, like maybe in hindsight.
Well, they're engaged, right?
They're engaged. Yeah. In
so
hindsight,
it's not out of bounds to say we should look for a house.
In hindsight, I'm looking at these selections and I'm screaming at the television at 11:30 at night. Take the house, take the house, take the, they take the wedding. They take the
wedding.
What
is the rationale of the people who take the wedding? They're just wowed.
They're just wowed. Yeah. Oh, they got us the trolley.
They're seduced.
Who
yeah. Oh, I did see. That was the one I saw, I think, in Nashville. Yeah.
Who cares about the trolley? It's probably cold. Just take the damn house.
What? And be careful what you say here. What percentage would you now, in retrospect, cut your wedding by financially if you could put it to your mortgage?
Oh, I mean, we've talked about this. Kate and I talked about this while watching the show.
What was your total? What was your total attendee list numbers?
I don't know.
Like 200?
It wasn't that many. No, maybe okay. Like 150. I forget the full
150.
Number.
150. What would your new number be, knowing that you could, you know, book a smaller venue and order less food and rent fewer chairs, all that kind of stuff?
We've had the conversation before where
you a 60 person wedding.
If we had to do it all over again, we'd get it done at the courthouse and then throw a party in the backyard.
It's so obvious.
It is obvious, but it's less frustration.
How many people could you invite to your backyard, though?
50, every 80? Listener of this show could probably. No, I don't know.
Yeah, you have a big yard. We get it.
No idea.
Okay.
But at least the number of people who came to the wedding.
Okay. Wow. By the way, I have noticed, and I don't know if there's a specific reason for this. Maybe it's just because there's fewer episodes. Have you noticed that Netflix reality shows have way better production value than your typical cable
reality
show?
It's not even, they all include my favorite tell for all Netflix shows is
production value wise.
Yeah, they've got the production value. It's way higher. But they've all got the dramatic drone shot at some point.
Oh, yeah.
They all feature the dramatic drone shot.
Yep.
Every Netflix
show. Sunset over Hollywood. Yep.
Every Netflix show has that.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm watching Dog Day Afternoon. I'm just going through, like, I don't have time to sit down and watch an actual long movie because I am, you know, two little guys. And now I'm also tired all the time, so I don't have like 2.5 hours to sit down and watch a 1976 Al Pacino movie, but I am almost done with Dog Day Afternoon and it is great. Have you seen it?
No. Who's in that?
It's Al Pacino. There's not that many other famous people in I'm trying to think of the people in it. I know the guy who plays Sam, his accomplice, it's Sonny and Sam. He's famous because he played Fredo, I believe, in The Godfather. Now I'm forgetting his name. But I'm trying to go through like classic amazing movies that I haven't seen that I can just sort of pick up and watch 38 minutes of at a time. So it's fantastic. It's really, really good. John Cazale
okay.
plays the side. He was also Fredo in The Godfather. Charles Durning. Believe it's I know it's Sidney Lumet is the director, all-time director, but Al Pacino and Al Pacino's hair, it's a sensation. He has like sweaty summer in Brooklyn hair but a giant mop at the same time.
Interesting.
It's an all-time hair performance from Al Pacino.
A hair hero. Okay.
An absolute hair hero. So I'm watching that right now. I haven't been watching any other
I watched Lupin. Lupin?
Okay.
That was pretty decent on Netflix.
Something consistent in my life, by the way, is anytime I want to know what's good to watch, ask your single or friends without children. And they'll be like, what are you looking for?
Yeah.
I have 47 recommendations and I have no time to watch any of them.
Well, look, on that note.
So savor it.
On that note, we've been talking about the Patreon for ballers.com. Yeah. This is that week where we do an off-topic show. And though we haven't, I guess, come to agreement on what the topic's going to be, I do know that one we had in the clip that we didn't use last time was like childhood movies. So like the Mighty Ducks, the Sandlot, doesn't just have to be sports, but the influence that some of those movies had in our lives growing up, I think that would be a fun show to do.
So do you want to limit it? Do you want to sort of narrow the scope to 90s kids sports movies?
I could do that.
Or do you want it to just be 90s kids movies? Or do you want it to be like puberty awakening 90s? But not anything pornographic.
Right.
Just Ty being sleazy adjacent. No?
I mean, it could be Dan being sleazy adjacent. For what it's worth.
I have all the texts from you that I could just read out.
Sure.
I think we do 90s kids sports movies.
90s kids sports movies.
And I think we bring on, I'll see if Bill's around.
Okay. We'll find somebody to come on with us.
Yeah. Bill or somebody. I love Bill so much, though.
The deal with the off-topic show, again, it's only available to Patreon subscribers going out to verballers.com for more information. The last one we did is also available still for Patreon subscribers. And that was youth sports. We talked through.
So this is sort of a continuation then, kind of.
Yeah, it feels like a natural offshoot. So we're going to talk about 90s sports movies for kids on the show that's going to drop on Friday for our Patreon subscribers for ballers.com.
Done. Lock it in. Give us suggestions and give us your takes.
SolidVerbal@gmail.com. You can also hit us up on the SolidVerbal Discord if you are part of that Patreon community. And let us know your thoughts on social media. As always, for that guy over there, my good friend, Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildenbrandt, we will talk to y'all on Thursday. In the meantime, stay solid.
Peace.